In this episode, you will meet Andrea Aster, an Italian artist and philosopher. He has created a wonderful tarot deck, and we will talk about tarot and many other things. Have fun! Wenn dich Tarot interessiert, du aber bis jetzt keinen Zugang zu den Karten gefunden hast, dann bist du hier richtig. Ich bin Ivana und hier findest du meine Tipps und Erfahrungen, damit du eine tiefe Verbindung zu den Karten und zu dir selbst aufbauen kannst. Hello and a very warm welcome to my Tarot podcast. And this time it's the first time I have the interview in English because my guest today is Andrea Aster, a multimedia artist, a philosopher, a poet, a designer. And yeah, I'm really excited to have him here because he has designed a beautiful tarot deck. And this is the reason why we got in touch and why I have invited him to the Tarot Talk. Very warm welcome to you, Andrea. I'm really excited to have you in my podcast, and maybe you can introduce yourself a little bit.
Thank you a lot for this opportunity and for the talk. I really enjoy your podcast and videos interview. So yes, thank you for inviting me to be here with you. Well, you already said everything. I mean, I think it's defining myself is incredibly difficult because I do so many things. And usually, let's say, I like a magician. I like to work with images and words. So from animations to interior design to t-shirts to exhibitions and books and games, everything I can personalize with my style is my world. I like to create parallel world. And the trade union between everything I'm doing is the concept of magic and fantasy that is almost childlike, because I always consider myself like a very old 5-year-old boy. So never grew up.
That's great. There are too many too serious persons around. So it's great. To stay a little bit in a childhood manner, something like that, just to walk around with the eyes of a child and never stop wondering and never stop being curious and things like that.
You got me. This is exactly what I like. And I think we live in a very difficult time, or maybe every time is difficult for the person that are living that period of time. So, but I think now we have lost the ability of dream, the ability of imagining something that is more beautiful or different for what we are experiencing every day. And this is what I'm focused on. I would like to recreate the feeling of magic, the feeling of wonder, the feeling of mystery, even the quirkiness of our childhood. When, I mean, imagine when you were a child, and I mean, I think about my childhood, when you turn off the light and everything started to be animated. In the darkness, you started to see something moving, shadows, eyes, and it can be something scary, it can be something funny, but I love that kind of mystery, a world that is completely and perfectly traced when everything is known, everything is mapped. It's a boring world. I like the mystery, I like the uncharted map to work with. It's more fascinating.
Is this the point why you got driven to the tarot, why you start?
Part, yes, part it was a very strange series of accidents, let's say so. Destiny has a very strange way of guide you. When I was a child, my mother was a tarot reader, and she used to read tarot to us kids in a very, I would say, I don't want to say unprofessional way, but in a tricky way, like, you know, telling story with tarot or having a spread and I say, oh, I see from the cards that it's time to go to bed. Oh, I see you misbehaved. I mean, of course, there are things that she knew before that, but she used tarot to tell us stories. And so I have amazing memories of her laying on the table different cards. And I was watching these mysterious cards with strange images and everything. She has a lot of decks, so every time there was something different going on there. And asking questions and see something. Then growing up, we started to take it very more seriously because her reading were incredibly powerful. I mean, we used to say that we didn't believe in tarot apart my mother. I mean, if my mother was doing tarot, everything she said, it was I mean, or becoming real, or was real. I mean, it was incredible. It was a very strange feeling. We call it a witch, but in a nice way, not in a derogatory way. She always said, "I'm a witch, so pay attention, don't mess with me." And so we always were on the playful side. So years ago, I decided to have an exhibition dedicated to tarot. And because I wanted to celebrate my childhood and all the magic that my mother put into our childhood and our life. And I started to have to work with oil on canvas, so classical paintings. And then I decided it was not a real medium for me to use for recreating the magic of tarot. So I started to create cards, painting on paper, on cardboard. So I started to create my first deck of cards. It was the Book of Shadows, the Lost Code of Tarot, then published by Lo Scarabeo. And of course, while doing the tarot, I started to have visions, ideas of my parallel worlds, and I enter into that zone. And so I started to ask a question: what if the tarot were invented by an alchemist? If really were someone who was an alchemist, they really invented the tarot, and if they really were magical in a most mystical and science fiction fantasy-like way. And so I started to think about this alchemist. I started to recreate his life, his manuscript. And then, because I have at the end, I have a manuscript of the alchemist. It was just quirky images. I have a deck of tarot. I started to decipher the manuscript of the alchemist. And it was just a collection of fictional short stories about magic, about fantasy, about life. And then something was still missing. And I connect every single dot of the map. So the translation of the manuscript, the tarot, with an animation mockumentary, 1 hour and a half long, so full feature film, telling the story of the discovery and the problems. And I want to say, like a forgerer, I recreate everything, pretending that everything was real. So there was the digging in London, and archaeologists discovered the laboratory of the alchemist. Then I receive an award for the best documentary of the year. And so I feel myself receiving the award with all the flash of I mean, the lights of the flash. And everything was done in my room, in my studio in Turin. Then I traveled the world to interview real historians. And so in the documentary, I have real historians that are talking about real things. I mean, historical facts, mixed with the facts that I invented with my friends. I collect the best friends I have and said, "Okay, I create a character for every one of you. Do you want to play with me and be part of my documentary?" So if you watch my documentary, you see my old teacher of Latin and Greek in school, in high school. You see my brother, my sister-in-law, my best friend. I mean, you see my world there, but presented like real professor or alchemy, non-alchemist, chemist, the person that was restoring the tarot. And I think I never had so much fun. It was 3 years of intense work, but when I say intense, I mean I was starting about 8, 9 in the morning, and I was going on till 2 a.m. every single day, even Saturday and Sunday. Sometimes I was not able to work, but my mind was completely there. Because everything I said before, I created it alone. So you know what does it mean create the script of a film in a language that is not mine, because everything is in English. So with help, I was corrected and everything. Then editing the film, then created the animations. The animation alone was 8 months of hard work. So after 3 years, I decided to go on Kickstarter to fund everything, and so I did it. And now the book that I just released, The Book of Shadows, An Alchemy Story, is the I recover everything. I work a little bit more on the documentary. So I re-edit the graphic of it. I mean, more colors, more a little bit better sounds and everything. And then I told the missing part of the story, how actually the alchemist created the tarot and why. It was the missing part. And for this missing part, I decided to make reality one of my biggest dream, creating my first graphic novel. So it's a graphic novel about magic, and reading it, you will learn how to use tarot. So it's a very strange way of teaching tarot if you want, but I really wanted to recreate the feeling of magic. Having a, as I say, having a booklet that is looks like, tastes like, feel like a recipe book for me is completely wrong. I think that a booklet coming with a deck of tarot has to be magical in its essence, in the printing, in the design. Yeah, it's like the door to the world of tarot, to the world of magic. And so I wanted to do something that was, I think, no one did before. I don't know that, but maybe totally crazy. When I started to share the idea, I had a lot of criticism. Oh, a graphic novel will learn tarot, but it's impossible. How can you be taken seriously? And then when people read it, say, oh my gosh, there are so many things here. And I said, yes, this is the idea. So sorry, it's a very long answer to your question.
No, it's okay. It's great. Well, I saw you the first time in the interview with Kirsten
Oh,
from
yes.
the Tarot EV, Tarot Verband in German. And then there you showed some of your cards, and I immediately fell in love with them. And then I went to Kickstarter and I ordered one of the copies. And yeah, this is the book Andrea is talking about. And yeah, it's really great. If you see, it's a graphic novel with, it's just tells the story, but also there's a description of each card, of course, so everyone can get an idea of what you thought about the card. And also there are some spreads here, how to use the cards. And yeah, it's really amazing. And I watched the movie. It was the first thing, because this was the first thing you rolled out, you distributed to the Kickstarter community. And at first, I watched it on the computer. And then I thought, no, I will watch it on the big screen on the TV. And I started, and I saw there are some subtitles. But I thought, okay, you started with English. So I thought, why do I need subtitles? I can understand English. But then there was French, there was Japanese, German, I don't know, many, many languages. I said,
Even
okay,
Latin, even Latin.
yes, I need the subtitles. So it was quite a lot of work to get this thing get running on the TV screen, but it was really great. And as you told, 1.5 hour, like a complete movie, and started, yes, with the excavation, with the digging in London, and all the mysteries about the cards. It was really, really great, and I was so looking forward to getting the cards and having the book. Yeah, it was
But
really
imagine that
exciting.
when I did my first Kickstarter campaign for the first version of the Book of Shadows, I mean, the chapter one, let's say, because it's not the first version, but it's chapter one. I receive emails of people that wanted to collaborate with me as a director, or complimented for the documentary, said that they discovered many things about tarot they didn't know. Oh, people that wanted to kill me, really. They say, oh, if I found you on the street, I'd kill you because you are revealing the most innest secret of the alchemy. It has to be a secret. So people take everything very, very, very seriously. When I toured the States for presenting the film, it was incredibly awkward because I have people coming to me after the under the screen, say, oh, amazing. I didn't know if everything was so. And then you don't know what to say because you are in a very deep conundrum. You say that everything you created is a forgery, or you don't say anything and let them discover everything by themselves. You leave the fantasy. It's like find a child that says, oh, you spoke about Santa is so beautiful, but can you give me the address? And then you have to decide, you still play the game or you say that Santa doesn't exist. It's a difficult question. So I prefer to stay and play the game. But I mean, then they discover it, of course, because sooner or later people realize that something is wrong there. But I have so much fun, so much fun.
Yeah, well, but it was amazing. A lot of work. When you watch the movie or when you read the book, it's really amazing. And even the cards. And I'm quite curious. When have you decided to create a tarot deck? You told us your mom was a tarot reader. So was there always the idea, I will do a tarot deck, I will create my own deck, or what was the starting point of that journey?
The starting point was the idea of celebrating my mother and my childhood. When I was doing the film, my mother unfortunately went sick and then she passed away. So I finished the film. My mother was never able to see the film. She saw the tarot, but she was not able to see the film because unfortunately she passed away during the process of working. So for me, it was incredibly emotional, incredibly deep, and incredibly horrible because it was, not an easy process. Because it was not sudden, it was with a lot of suffering, a lot of horror, and 2 years of from the moment she went sick to the moment she passed away. So it was horrible for everyone. I mean, both for her, a lot of suffering. So, and then doing the tarot, it's like falling in the rabbit hole because you started just to want to celebrate them. But then of course, you study, you use it, you have the childhood that is full of tarot, and I already started reading it with my mother, sharing ideas, sharing trips, journey through the cards. And so it was very, very nice, very beautiful. And then I started to use it more and more. And then it became more important in my life because I used it more and more and more. It's not to do what we started like just an exhibition, an idea that is just an idea. It became a very important part of my life because I started to connect the images of tarot with philosophy, with things I study at university, with my passion for the Latin and Greek world. So I started to read tarot in a completely different way, try to understand. I mean, at university, I studied philosophy of language. So I'm always was obsessed by the process of giving meaning to something. Why we humans give meanings to symbols, or how happens as an image started to have a meaning that is beyond what you see. It is the process that give the process that transform a playing cards like tarot to a tool of divination, to a tool of introspection, to something you can use to storytelling. I mean, I discovered that my tarot deck is used in theater for improvisation exercises. And I think this is amazing. There are people that use it for divination. There are people that use it. I use it for creating stories, for my kids' stories and everything. I started to lean up cards and creating a story following the ideas emerging from the cards. So imagine how fascinating it is having a deck of playing cards that doesn't mean anything more than the function that every single card has inside the game. And it started to have more meaning and deep and deep and deep. And then we have important figure like Jung, Carl Gustav Jung, that spent a lot of time studying the occult and tarot because he saw in tarot archetypical images. So it's interesting. It's a way to assess our psyche. And I mean, if you want to have a psychological approach to tarot, you can have it. If you want to have a scientific, semiotic approach, you have it. If you want to have an occultist point of view, you have it. So tarot are so complex, so fascinating. I mean, there are in thinking something that is there from the Middle Ages on, evolved from late Middle Age until now. So imagine how many stories are there, how many symbology, how many things. And I like to go back to this kind of approach and connecting every single card with different kind of knowledges, different kind of history to make people understand or to discover the little secret things, like why this is in this shape and not in the other one, why the young man is this position and not hang by the neck, or why not a different instrument for hanging in. I mean, why is like that? Why did the bateleur is in the way it is? What does it mean? Because it's an ancient word. He's never used it anymore in any language. I mean, the translation is the magician. I said, why? What is representing? What is the history of this card? And then you think about the Middle Age fairs, and then you think about what's happening there and the history and everything. And then you connect every single bit, every single dot, and you have an image. And these images is fascinating. From the moment I started, I think it was more than, I don't know, 7, 9, 8, 10 years ago. I don't know, when I did the Book of Shadows. Till now, I never stop researching and sharing my ideas and my historical researches with other people, like historians of tarot, of occultists. And this is the reason why I wanted to share part of the Book of Shadows with three people that I really love. They are really friends. I mean, I can say they are friends. They are not just collaborators. So Rana George, Sasha Graham, and John Matthews. I ask the three of them to contribute to the realization of the Book of Shadows in different fields. So I ask Rana a question. I ask Sasha a question, and a John. I said, John always wanted to work with me in this, entering my parallel world. From the moment he saw the film, he said, I want to enter in that world. And so we always tried to do it. And we created together the Tarot Light and Shadow. There was a little bit, if you see the design, the idea is in the way it is, because the idea was to connect the deck to the Book of Shadows and say that during the archaeological digging, they find another deck. So it was inserted in the parallel world. But then with the publisher, we decide to skip the background stories because the deck was already challenging for people, because there are two decks. It is not the positive and negative meaning of straight meaning and upside down cards meaning. No, it's far more complicated. So we decided not to put too many things, too many information to the deck. So when I started to retake all the Book of Shadows and create the chapter two, but if you have the chapter two without having the chapter one, it's not a problem, because in this book is everything I wrote, everything I created for the Book of Shadows first edition, plus tons of new information. I rewrote part of it. I reillustrate everything because I said, okay, now is the time to create something that I didn't have the time or the energy to do before, because I was concentrating in other aspects. It was already too much. So, I mean, 2 years to create just the graphic novel and the book. So it's not a little time on investment. And then I, of course, I asked John, then I said, when the moment came, he said, John, why don't you write the meaning of my cards? I said, oh, yes, I want. He was incredibly happy. And I still remember when I sent him the file of the cards, and he said, but Andrea, you didn't send me notes. Why you did tease in this way or teases in this shape and not the another? Can you guide me? And I remember we were on Skype and I said, no. I said, what do you mean no? No. You can say whatever you want. I have just one request. Be as poetic as you can. Free your imagination. Write from your heart. Don't think about my meaning, because my meaning will be completely different of yours. And I don't want to overimpose my meanings and my reason of creating the cards. I mean, why I created things in the way they are. You don't have to know anything. I want you to interpret the cards for what you see, for what you feel. And I have to say, is one of the best booklet that John ever wrote. Is the meaning of the cards that he gave are so poetic, so beautiful, that I'm incredibly, incredibly happy. This is the way I really wanted to work with him. So at the beginning, he was not happy because he said, why? I mean, you don't say anything. I said, okay, but if I write something, you accept whatever I write. I said, well, let's see. Maybe one day I will deny that that is the meaning of the card. So I don't mention. I mean, no, it's okay. It was a great journey.
Because it's also an intuitive approach, just to have a look at the card, dive in the card, and yeah, have a look what's coming, what do you feel, what do you see. And when I look to your cards or even other decks, sometimes I see a detail I've never seen before, and then it has a meaning. And it's really great.
You know, I think that there are, I mean, I really thank you for your words, because for me it's very important. I think there are two ways of creating tarot decks. One is, let's say, merely artistic. You have the meaning of the cards in mind and you draw something that for you is beautiful. And all the elements, the color of the cards are not chosen for their meaning, but for the aesthetic of it, without ruining, of course, the general meaning of the cards. For me, this is the beginning, but then in the selection of the object, the positioning of the elements of the cards, every single thing that is there or is missing is a meaning. Sometimes if you draw, if you put the cards in a sequence, usually I work in sequence. So you have all the major arcana with the full journey. Then you have all the, what I call the house of coins, the house of swords. You see a progression. You see that every single suit has a background, a mood. So cups, you see a lot of water, there are cliffs. So it's like to be, I don't know, in a Nordic country, like a fjord or something like that. If you see coins, you are in a desert land. It's more the Arabic world. And go on. But then if you check, you see the queen and the king usually in the position that or they look each other or they are connected. So there is a story going on. Then you see elements. Sometimes the elements of the landscapes are there, like you are walking in it. So the position is changing. You see the same city from different perspective. In one of the cards is in the background. In another one is at the center of the card. So it's there in the foreground. I think this is important for telling story. They created so every single card is completely different. There are similitudes in the object, but they are not just copy paste. Like this element is there, I copy, I paste there, and so let's work. No, I wanted the same flower, but I redraw it because maybe in one card is flourishing, is blossoming, in the other one is still opening, in another one is dry. And I think this is part of the magic. I love when people notice something like that, because I put a lot of energy in doing it. So it's fun.
Yeah. For example, as you said, there's also a story with the aces. It starts here with the cliff. Wait.
Yeah.
It's the other way around.
Yes, you start. Yes, exactly. And then yeah, is what I call the song of the aces. Yes, exactly. You create, there is a landscape, a unique landscape.
Yeah. And then wait, I think this way around.
Exactly. Perfect. Yeah. And this is what I wanted to create, is a unique landscape. It was a unique drawing divided in four parts. And so everything is consistent. You see the water of the ocean created by the cup of life. And then you have on the, what is for me is the left, your left, the left, the monitor, whatever it is, it's always tricky. You see a reference to Excalibur. Or the sword and the stone, that is, anyway. Then you see this mythical city of Sapientia with the ones there flourishing, so this magical tree. Then you see this garden with the sun that is a coin and is a pentacle. So it's a unique story, and I like this way of working. And then the element of the landscape you see in the other cards returning and recurring.
So this is, really interesting. And also with the court cards, I saw also the same scenery but different perspective. So this is really amazing and quite different from what you see in other tarot decks.
I guess so. I saw other decks when the story is going on all around the cards and everything, and I like it. But what I wanted to achieve is even be multicultural. Because I think tarot are born in a Western society, Middle Age, Renaissance society. But then we have people reading tarot coming from all over the world. And so I try to make them a little bit more open to everyone. So if I would like that, if you see my cards in all the decks I created, I try to avoid every religious references to Christianity. Of course, you think about an historical deck, the virtues, the Pope, the Popes. I mean, there are lots of references to the Christian world because they are born in that. I mean, many of the cards reflect the powers figures that were there in the Middle Age of legend, like the Popes, the female Pope. But then I try to avoid it, to open it, so they are religious figure, but from no religion at all. They are like a mystical side of our religiosity without connecting to Buddhism or this one or the other card. Then there are references of different culture, of course, different religions, even if it's the setting is clearly more Islamic art. Sapientia has these strange onion domes and everything, but this is my fantasy. This is my quirkiness, because I collected the different elements of the cultures that I love more, putting it together to create something that is unique, that is not exactly Islamic world, is not Baghdad of the Caliph or something like that, but it's not even the China of the Emperor, it's not even Africa. But you see elements of different culture mingling, creating this strange architecture, fantastic, with towers and doorbell and bells. And I mean, it's crazy. But I like this kind of parallel world when everyone can see something of their own culture. So even the skin tone of the characters there is completely different. And then I try to put something that is more inclusive. Like if you see there are heterosexual couples, there are lesbian couples, there are gay couples, there are I try to open the tarot to take the meaning of it, the essence, without forcing a reading. I mean, love is love, but doesn't matter the sex of the people involved in the acting of love. So why don't focus on the meaning of love instead of the figurative aspect of it? So, I mean, I ask a lot of questions before drawing some cards, like, okay, in the Two of Cups, I put a man and a woman crossing their hands with the cups. Oh, I put two men. So I decided to put two men. If I remember right, one is black, one is white. So I wanted to, I think this, like, no, let me check. I'm running through
oh,
the
you're
deck.
Looking. Yeah, I got
because
it.
Because I did, you know, when you do so many sketches. Yes. Because, you know, you do so many sketches and then you don't remember what. Yes. And then this for me is a refiguration of many things because I wanted to be even autobiographical, if you can say so in English, because my boyfriend is an Afro-American. So here I wanted to celebrate our couple. So I put myself like the white little mustache man on the right, and I put him like I see him, like a black prince,
yeah.
Tall, majestic, and beautiful. And I don't know if he discovered that I did it for that reason. I have to ask him, but one day I will make him face reality. I think everything we do reflect our passion, our ideas, our values and everything. And I really want to create, I mean, to live a better world or to create something that helps people not just to dream, but to see themselves in what I'm creating. And so the more open I be, the better it is at the end.
Do you have some daily rituals with the cards, or do you work every day with the cards, for example, like pulling a daily card or something like that? Or do you say, okay, it's for me a piece of art I don't use it, or do you use it?
You know, I have a ritual, but it's not the card of the day, because one card is like having one word. With one word, it's difficult to create a sentence. It's just one word. It can be meaningful. But I usually use three cards. If my smallest spread is three cards. So without, I think about a question or something, and then I, in a free reading, without say these cards represent, I don't know, the future, the past, or the problem of the day and the solution of the problem, what I can use to, no. Three cards and let the cards be completed freely and checking the connections between them and everything and let the story emerge. So I just look at the cards and wait for the cards to tell me their own stories. But this is my way of reading. I fell in love with directional readings. And from the moment I discovered it, I use just directional reading. And this time is the first time with my deck that I use a deck that is a Rider-Waite deck. Because for years, I always use the Book of Shadows or the other decks I created. There are Pips decks. So we have not, the minor arcana are not figurative. And I like the idea of not being figurative because you have really to crack open your mind. Mm. And so the real challenge for me was taking the meanings of the Pips, taking the meanings of the Rider-Waite minor arcana, see the differences, see the connection points, and put everything in a figurative way using Pamela McCollum-Smith figuration, not to change too much the cards. Because again, this is really important. When you have a tradition, what do? You change completely the design and put whatever you want there. You can do it. But then for readers, it would be far more difficult to read immediately the card. And I think if, from my experience, when I read a tarot deck and I have to put too much attention of the details on the things happening there just to have the meaning of the card or just to recognize the card. For me, it's not working. It's a collection deck, but it's not a working deck. I wanted mine to be a collection and a working deck. So I use images or representations that are already established in the mind of people. So whatever you see there is something that is not completely new, but is my interpretation. So I give in my style with my object, my meanings, my references, like the famous Tree of Cup, the Cup of the Celebration. I transform them like in ethereal beings. They are vanishing or they are emerging from the flowers. You see, there is a little bit of transparency there. They are merging with all these flowers. And then all these point of lights, I have different interpretation of time, because when I draw them, I want it to be like the sparkle of magic. But when I draw in them, I started to see fireflies. And I like this idea that an object can be one thing and another thing. And so these are my three muses celebrating life and everything. But there are lots of meanings there. But if you see the cards, you can recognize it. And then you can go deep, dig, and find differences. I mean, look at the figure, for example, the faces and the arms of these female figures are bluish, so they're maybe they are not human. And then they have very strange tattoos and geometrical patterns and everything. And you see that every one of them is own style. Someone is more round, someone else is more geometrical, squarey one. So there's a lot of characterization. Then the eyes, one of just one eyes and the two. And I mean, I wanted to create something really and deeply magical. And I think I achieved my goal if someone looking at the cards is transported into another reality. This is really what I wanted to do. Yeah. Transport people in another reality. It is the reason why I created the Book of Shadows in this way. When you have everything and nothing, because as I say, it's a graphic novel. But if you look at it, it's not just a graphic novel, because then you have the reproduction of the Alchemy Stone with the short stories. And the short stories are important for the tarot reading, but even important to open a little bit the mind and see things in a completely different way. Then I put the meaning of the pips. While I gave John the task to create the meaning of the cards, I wanted to have the meaning I use alone when I have a pip deck. And then there is the graphic novel part, the parallel world part, and the funniest part was transporting, translating, transforming the three characters, four with me, Rana, Sasha, and John, in characters. And something crazy happened, I show you, because when I sent John the PDF of the book to let him see himself, I received one of the most incredibly comments that made me, where do I have to find it now, made me think a lot, and I said, what? I draw John in this way. This is John Matthews.
Okay.
And when he received it, he said, Andrea, but why you painted me with red hair? So, well, because your hair are red. No. And so I discovered, I always saw John as a ginger person, and he's not a ginger. So I discovered I have some... I don't know, way of interpreting reality that is quite different from reality itself.
But it's your reality. And I also like your various interpretation. I have here the strength card, and I really like the difference I see, except of the woman. But here with the Wade Smith tarot, she seems to shut the mouth. And in your tarot, and this is the interpretation I prefer, she opens the mouth. Yeah. And so this is one of the differences compared to the classical Rider-Waite-Smith tarot. But I really like this interpretation because it's more empowering for me.
Yeah, no, I agree, even because strength is, if many people think about physical strength, the energy of doing something, but the physicality of the action is just a metaphor for the moral strength. The strength of idea of your persona, not the physical energy, the powerness of doing something physical. So it's a card that can be read in different levels, in different ways. And I like this idea. It is the reason why I wanted to have this African background and the lion skin dress on this woman. And
yeah. What is your favorite card?
Well, my favorite card is really easy. In this moment is the Eight of Cups.
Ah.
I put it everywhere. Every time I have to take a picture for showing my cards and everything in a spread, I put this one nearby because I think it represents me in this phase of my life. What I see in this card, what I draw, you see the classical drawing of the Eight of Cups. You have on the right of the cards a man leaving the city, leaving the place. While I draw a sailship. So there is the idea of exploration. Then you see this bay, this cliff opening toward the horizon with a little opening. And you see the starry night, the sky. I think there is the moon. Yes, there is the moon. And the idea is living a reality that you master, the reality that is your, what in Latin says, hortus conclusus, that is the your garden, well-protected garden, where you know everything, where you're savior and you're master of the house and everything. I mean, you are like the emperor in your realm, leaving everything, give up everything to exploring a new reality that is not yours, that is beyond the horizon, that is beyond the confidence zone. So challenging yourself constantly to lose everything, to gain everything again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is my life. I mean, I'm living in a country that is not mine. I'm working in a language that is not my first language. And from the childhood, I always, for different family reason and everything, from my Buenos Aires, I mean, from my childhood spent in Buenos Aires, then I live in Berlin for a while, then in Paris and going back to Italy. I mean, I always kept my house in Italy, my house, studio house. So I was just living outside for 2 months, 3 months, half a year. But then after the Book of Shadows, the first one, I said, I really want to go away from my country and explore different reality. And I came at the end, after the tour in the States, I came here in England, first in London. And now I just moved 1 week ago to the countryside in the middle of nowhere because I wanted to have a more deep connection with nature. I really want to work under a tree and not having noises from a city and see the sea if I want to go to the sea. And I mean, I'm a very romantic person, but I love secluding in a space that is nature. And so I decided to go away from London. Quite a strange choice because everything is happening there. But I said, well, I'm far north, almost to Scotland, so I'm really, really north. But I like it. I need it. In this phase of my life, I need it. So I like this ship sailing away from something that I know and I master to new adventures, and let's see what happens.
What are you planning to do next? Another tarot deck or oracle card deck or something like that?
Okay, yes, I have some ideas. I have a secret project with John that I hope we can be able to work soon because it's years and we are working on it. It would be phenomenal, fantastic, explosive, completely new, and I really incredibly challenging for the two of us. And I love the idea. Then I will collaborate with other friends, and I never create a Lenormand deck. So I was doing maybe the next deck, a Lenormand. But for now, I want to work with the Book of Shadows. So create masterclass lessons, videos, sharing with people, sharing ideas, because I'll just finish to create everything and to deliver it to the world. I want to play with it with people, see how people use it, then go back to the graphic novel. So I think the first work I will do from now on, it will be not immediately a new deck of cards, but I would like to create some games. I would like to create some children book. So I would like to go on. I just finished an animation from a producer in Panama with an ecologist, ecological point of view on our lives. So very, very interesting. Something I really love and like to work with. So let's see. Let's say there are so many, many projects. So let's see. As always, I mean, I divided my day in morning, day, night. This is my working routine, so it's okay.
Wow. Maybe we'll be already talking for a long time, so maybe we can come to the end. But I would really appreciate if you would draw a card for the community and give your interpretation.
Yes, let me shuffle the deck. You can see here the city of Sapientia that is in the back. That is the magical, fantastical city of the alchemist. So, and let me just shuffle it, shuffle it, shuffle it, shuffle it. Let me see what we have. I think this is the right card. Oh, wow, nice. But I don't tell you what it is. No, I have to. The Seven of Coins.
Ah.
I think it's a very nice card because you see what the woman is doing.
Yeah,
she's
holding
a very,
the
yes,
tree.
She's like a little kid hugging the tree, and the tree is blossoming with this beautiful, fantastic flower, and you see the magic or the fireflies coming around from the hug. I think the interpretation of the cast for me in this moment of my life, is a wish, and is if you want to have the future you dream, if you want to realize your dreams, you have your act your life, taking care of your life, taking good decision and working to make the tree of destiny, the tree of your future, to blossom in the way you wish, in the way you dream of. So it's useless to say sitting in, behind the tree and watching it without doing anything. We have to take care of our environment, our life, our friends, our job, our lovers, and the people we love, and make everything blossoming, making everything flourishing, everything going on. So this is, for me, is the meaning of the card in this specific moment. Taking
Great.
care of your dreams and make them real.
And give
Don't
them a
listen
hug.
to anyone and to say that you can't
Yeah.
dream. Dream and keep dreaming.
Great. That's really great. Thank you, Andrea, so much for being my guest. I will, of course, put all the links to your website, to your shop, in the show notes, so that the people, if they say, wow, I would
Oh,
love
thank you
to
so much.
have these wonderful cards, they can go to your shop and purchase them there. It was a pleasure to have you here in my podcast, and it was really exciting, and it was really interesting also to hear about the process, how you made the cards, what's everything, what the story behind the deck, the story behind the movie, the story behind the book. So it was really, really interesting. Thank you so much for
Thank
sharing
you.
this with us.
No, thank you so much to you and to the viewers. Thank you. I hope you enjoy the travel to this fantasy world, and please support artists. But support artists. Above all, independent artists, people can create the art, their decks, their books without an established publisher, but they believe in their dream, just doing it to Kickstarter, with Kickstarter or other platform, because it's important. Not always we have the luck to have a big publisher backing us in the way we wish, or sometimes a publisher doesn't want to give all the attention to the details and the high cost of creating something with quality that we want. So support arts every time you can.
I will continue as well. Thank you so much,
Thank you so
Andrea.
Much. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Wenn dir die Episode gefallen hat, dann freue ich mich über deine positive Bewertung. Online findest du mich unter ivanatrobeck.com und auf Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube oder TikTok unter meinem Namen. Schau doch mal vorbei, ich freue mich auf dich. Bis zum nächsten Mal, deine Ivana.